Parshas Malocha, the famous parsha of what could have been, what should have been, the parsha of Nosim Anachdu, of journeying to Eretz Yisrael, Vayibin Soa Aron, the upside down Nunt, and then in source number one, the people took to seeking complaints. Vayiam ki mitonim rab osnei Hashem. It was evil in the ears of Hashem, and Hashem heard, and his wrath flared, and a fire of Hashem burned against them, and it consumed at the edge of the camp. The people cried out to Moshe. Moshe prayed to Hashem, and the fire died down. He named the place Tavera, for the fire of Hashem had burned against them. Then the Asasuf was among them, cultivated a craving, Hitavu Tava, and they joined the bandwagon. They said, Zacharnu Tadagash, Shernachanu, Shachanu B'Mitzrayim Chinam. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt for free. We remember the Kishuim. We remember all these great vegetables. And then it was a slippery slope. They got the slav, they got this extra meat, and many people died. We've spoken about in the past what was the sin of the Mitonanim, what was the sin of the complainers, and I like to revisit this same question this year as well, noting similar ideas but coming from a different perspective, and that's the depth and beauty of Torah. What was the sin of Mitzonanim? So Rashi tells us, source 3, actually they were looking for a pretext to distance themselves from Hashem. What was their complaint? Nothing. It was just complaining. A pretext which would reach his ears and provide and provoke him. So they complained of traveling 3 days without respite from the misery of their journey. Thereupon Hashem's anger flared and he said, I intended it only for your good, so that you should enter the land immediately. Ramban writes that they should have followed Hashem in happiness and joy after all the good he had bestowed upon them. Instead, they behaved like people acting under duress and compulsion. We need to understand, and this is what we're going to get to today, the psyche behind both Rashi and the Ramban. What was the dynamics going on within these people? Further, we know on the Pasuk, Vatochel b'ksei hamachane, consume the edge of the camp, Rashi brings two contrasting views. Who was the edge of the camp? Who were the initiators? Either the lowlifes, the Eruv Rav, the people who had joined the mixed multitudes, or the Katze was the Ksinim, the heads. And the Medrash speaks about that the 70 elders who accompanied Moshe Rabbeinu up part of the mountain at Mamad Har Sinai in Parsha Mishpatim, the Pasuk tells us that they beheld a vision of God, Vayachlu Vayishtu, instead of having humility, they were ghastly bummed. They had felt haughtiness in their heart that they were able to eat and drink. Nadav and Avihu were punished when they brought the Ketoret, and here, these people were punished at this particular time. And again, the question becomes, what is the connection between that experience of beholding a vision of God and hear that this was the appropriate place to kill them? And how do we understand Rashi, which seems to bring two diametrically opposite opinions? Before we even begin, and this is true of Mamish learning Chumash in general, let's begin with the following understanding. Rav Scheinman brings this down in All Motion, Source 5. Mevuar shechatam shel b'nei Yisrael v'mibar haya kefi madregatam. Their experience was on their level. Kimit onanim. Aval ein lahavina parsha shechatu b'cheit gamur. It's not that they actually sinned in a real sin. V'abiur hu shlofi dargatam chatu u'kefi aklal v'siravam nisaram me'ot. Hashem punishes great people on their standards. And therefore, when the Torah is looking at what they did wrong, Vayhi am kimitonanim ra, we're looking at it bizchuchit magdalet, pi elef alofim kol maseim shagadol le'olam. You know, when you look at it in a magnifying glass, and it's magnified many fold, so it looks much worse than it really is, Hashem, looking at their sins from this vantage point of the magnifying glass, the Dor Dea, the generation that received the Torah, so obviously they are getting punished on a much higher level than regular people who would have done the same thing are getting punished. So when we look at these sins and we say, oh my gosh, I can't believe these people did this, in our eyes we wouldn't even blink, we wouldn't think twice. They would meet Onanim Rabbels and Hashem, they didn't even articulate it. It was like only Hashem heard it. Like, what's the big deal? But on their level, it is a big deal, and Hashem expects from them more. Rav Wolbe, in his Sefer in English on Chumash, collected from his writings, notes that learning the written Torah without the aid in Source 6 of the oral tradition is like trying to get a picture of someone's life by looking at a few postcards. Remember what those were? Instead of watching a lengthy video documenting his life. Second, all 24 books of Tanakh are the word of Hashem, recorded by humans who are granted prophecy or Ruach HaKodesh. The gauge to measure the people in Tanakh cannot be a human yardstick. For these people are being described by Hashem's exacting standards. The greater the person, the more demanding Hashem is in his dealings with them. Therefore, minute infractions that are indiscernible to the human eye are sometimes described in Tanakh as severe transgressions. And further, he notes in 8, we cannot even begin to compare ourselves to their levels. We are like nothing compared to who they were. As Chazal say, if the earlier generations were like angels, then we are like humans. If they were like humans, then we are like donkeys. One of Hasidic Rebbe summed it up so beautifully, I wish my mitzvos were on the level of their aveiros. So clearly, when we're talking about what was the sin of the Misonanim, the answer is, I don't know what the sin of Misonanim was. And we have Rashi, we have Ramban, we have other commentators. I can't even begin to analyze their sin because their sin is on a level that's beyond what I can even talk about, what we can even talk about. What I'd like to do, however, is to look at the Mefarshim who deal with this and to try to understand what are some lessons we can learn on our earthly level from this story, from the harsh punishment, from the harsh response of Hashem that will enable us to be able to grow and to be able to learn the appropriate lessons that need to be learned. And what we're really going to see today is we're really going to do a little bit of traveling down the human psyche, the human mind, and really very basic ideas of how we interact with the world and how we interact with Hashem, and hopefully very practical for our lives. The Birkas Mordechai, let's start with him. The Yalkut Shimoni notes, Ein mit onanim ela mit ra'amim, mevakshim alila he'ach lifrosh ma'acharei ha'makom. Their complaint was just to be able to complain, to find an excuse how they can distance themselves from Hashem. We therefore find, nimsa eifol shelo hasiba hi agareme nagranut ela adraba nagranut motzeit et afekat nesiba. It wasn't a question that they had a reason that they were being so, you know, upset, and that reason was a valid reason, and that's why they acted the way they acted. There was no valid reason. They were complaining just simply for the sake of complaining. They wanted an excuse to complain, so they created an excuse. Why were they really complaining? They were complaining just for the sake of complaining. This was the problem of these people. B'tchila b'ha nagranot v'achar kach motzim amatachu. First you have complaints, and then you find what to complain. There are people that just like to, you know, complain about anything. You know, it's too hot outside. It's too cold outside. It's too cold inside. It's too cold outside. It doesn't matter. These are people whose nature is to complain. And this is the psyche of the people of the Dor HaMabul. Mit onanim, kim mit onanim. They need an alila that, and then they'll say, oh, you know what, Hashem, you're moving us too quickly. You know what, it's too hard for us to go in the Midbar territory soil so fast. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with who and what they are. And that's their problem. Okay, with this in mind, he says, if we go on, Achein lo tzarich liot shum kesher, af lo higayon ben hanagranot leven asiba nekuta, shekein tivash al nagranot shehi kishlatzma midahi, umida migunazo motzei purkana asiba kol shehi ben sheyeshla o ben ein lata. It doesn't need to have a reason. It doesn't need to have anything. It just needs to be there just for the sake of complaining. Veshelimadnu chazel. Kol otam sibot shenektu amitoranim hayu sibot shelachar ha'mase. All that they're complaining about is after the maisa. Velozo bilvad el she'ein behem shum higayon. They make no sense. Tamo siba. Koshehi. Kizu ha'malach. This is the way it goes. B'tchila ba'aratzon v'achlata megunesh aleish lifrosh v'acharei ha'makom. At first, they find an excuse to leave Hashem. L'kach matzah negrenudzu et porkana. Once they find an excuse, then they're able to allow it to just go higher and higher and become more and more intense. This is what we need to understand. We need to understand that the nature of the human being is that if you want to find a complaint, you're going to find a complaint in anything that you do. And he continues in 11, and he says, reality is that finding the complaint can be both in the higher echelons of the people and the lower echelons of the people. In both sides of the people, you're going to find that the lower end of the people, the Erev Rav, they're going to complain just for the sake of complaining. You know, we're not happy, and they rattle up all the people that are within them. And the higher end of the people are going to say, you know, let's be a little bit sophisticated. Let's be less naive. The Feltheim books are blue. Let's be less naive. Let me tell you what the real thing is going on. And let me show you that if you would really know what this is about, then you would act differently. And that's why Rashi's not contradicting each other. Because who are generally the people that find complaints? The people on the lower end who are not happy about anything. And the people on the higher end who want to show themselves to be sophisticated, to be special, and that people should realize their high position, that they're going to complain about something, they too are the people that are complaining. So notes the Birkas Mordechai. What was the psyche of the human condition here? The answer is they were complainers. What was their complaint? The answer is, it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter what you say. The core is mitonanim ra. They are complaining just for the sake of complaining. Now, why do people complain? What is it about the nature that there are people who are wired just to always find fault? So perhaps we can say that one of the reasons is the Daniel brings in 13, Hatshuva l'kol ha'tmiyot halalu hi achein kein. Adam shemekabel kol hazman tova eino yodei lahokir. One reason is because when people get so much and they're given everything they want, so if they don't have one little thing, they complain. You know, when people have been blessed with so much thing, it's hard for them to, like, you know, realize that it's okay if I don't get this one thing. There's a beautiful set of svarim, which we're going to, Mirtz Hashem, be utilizing much more. The set of svarim is called Chovat Ha'adam Ba'olamo, the obligation of a person in this world. It is a Hadrachot Masiyot L'Tikun. It's practical advice on analyzing and how can one overcome different types of mitos, different types of things that we struggle with in life. I'll just share with you the background of how we just acquired these svarim very recently. Somebody gave me one of this set. It's a 14 set, very skinny books. It analyzes what the problem is, whether it's Sarasayin, whether it's Simcha, whether it's, you know, having Kavan and Mitzvos. It analyzes the problem, and then it gives, like, charts and worksheets to mamish do. I think it was geared originally for high school, but in my mind, I'm still in high school. I teach seminary. I'd say I never graduate. And it's really useful for all ages. So someone given me this sefer almost a year ago, and I've had my eye out on trying to find the whole set, and I've gone from store to store in the back of my mind looking for it and never seeing it. So a few weeks ago, Rachel, my 19-year-old daughter, Kleinara, and I were in Bnei Brak. We went shopping for Sforim and for clothes. I will say it was a very successful trip. We spent hundreds of shekels, not with one item of clothing, but a lot of Sforim, Baruch Hashem. And we went to a lot of Sforim stores. It's a failing that both of us have, that we're more drawn to those stores than to the clothes stores. And we went to the flash door, and I said, you know, Rachel, I'm exhausted. She said, Ima, let's just look around. And then she saw these Sforim, and she said to me, Ima, which I didn't know, she said, I have been looking. She was in Brooklyn for part of this year. I've been looking all over Brooklyn for these Sforim. I didn't know that as I was searching for them, she was also searching for them. And it was like both of us never spoke about how each of us were searching for them, but this was like on the forefront of our mind. We were like two kids in Baskin-Robbins with the 32 flavors, taking all 32 flavors, right? We took all 14 Sforim, and it was like, wow. Like, this was amazing. Chovat Adam Olamo. So he has a piece on Givak Arsatov. We'll speak a little bit later about Kina and Ayin Tova. So he notes here, he says, Tusha Shomagili. This is one of the problems that we have in our generation. Person feels like they're deserving of everything. And it begins from the moment they're born, where everyone gives them everything they need. And then they grow up thinking like, you know, Magili, I'm deserving of everything. And he says, the advertising world doesn't make it much better. You deserve to have the latest and greatest. And when you have these subliminal messages, then people really feel, you know what, I do deserve to have all the latest and greatest. And when you don't have all the latest and greatest, then you feel chaserly and you complain, like, I deserve it, like it's justifiable complaint. Rabosai, and again, this is what we're focusing in on today, really to try to get to the core, and to be honest with ourselves, like looking in the mirror to get to the core of who we are. Where is this coming from? This tendency to just not be happy. So one of the areas we could say, and there are a number that we'll bring down to, one of them is a lack of hitbadlut. We don't have the ability to have bittul, to be able to nullify ourselves, and to be able to know what our place is in this world. If we always look at ourselves as the center, then everyone has to serve me. I'm the prince, Bishvili Nivra Ola. But there's another side to the coin, and that's Vanochi Afar Ve'efer. And in our day and age, when we know it's hard to reprimand a child, and it's hard to tell them to do anything wrong, and we don't criticize, and all we do is positive reinforcement, and positive this, and self-esteem, and blah, blah, blah. We know all the latest and greatest lingo. So then you can never do anything wrong. If you can never do anything wrong, you really believe that you are the center of the world. But Shili Mivra Olam. And then there's little place for Hitbadlut of recognizing, you know what? There is bigger and better people and things than you. And you have to know your place. And as great as you are, there are people that are greater. There are beings that are greater. There are things that are greater. And you need to be able to have that Hitbadlut, that ability to know your place in dealing with others. And this is where chutzpah comes in. Why is it that we live in a generation where chutzpah is so great, that the way children speak to parents, the way children speak to teachers, is unheard of? I recently had a student of mine who said to me, and this was a great line, she said, she never knew till fifth grade that a child can talk back to a parent and say no. She was at a friend's house, and her friend said no to her mother. She came home. She was in shock. She said to her sister, do you know there's such a concept of saying no to your parent? Like, now this is, unfortunately, an anomaly in our day and age. Where does this come from? It comes from this entitlement. And hitbadlut means if a parent tells you something or a teacher tells you something, then you're able to listen to it and you're able to know your place. If the teacher says, leave the classroom, a student shouldn't get up and say, no, make me. And this is what goes on in the classroom today. Who are you to tell me? I mean, it just boggles your mind that you have things like this. Where is this coming from, my friends? We have a lack of bittul. This self-entitlement doesn't allow a person to have the nullification that's needed. And for this reason, Sifte Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander's Atzal notes, that this is one of the reasons, Vaduvan on source 15, HaTorah Nitna Dafka Bamidbar, why the Torah was given specifically in the desert. Ki Dafka Bamidbar Hen Yekablu Aleihem O Machlut Shamayim, specifically in the desert that they're able to receive the yoke of heaven. When you're living in a city, you feel like you have all your needs taken care of. You don't really need Hashem. When you're living in a midbar, then you realize that you're completely dependent on Hashem. That feeling of dependency, that feeling of nullification of bittul, it's a prerequisite of learning Torah and a prerequisite of living a Torah lifestyle. And that's what it's about. Like when you see a zakeh, an elderly person, or a talmid chacham, who's even young, walking down the street, don't pretend you don't see them. You get up. You show respect. This is what life is about. When a parent comes in to a room, a child should be trained. You stand up. So remochel, this and that, it's not good chinuch. Chinuch has to be on a little bit of itbadlut, a little bit of knowing the sense of a child as a child, an adult as an adult. If children would start standing up for their teachers and their parents, perhaps maybe it will get into their heads that there is a difference between them. And again, this idea of talking to teachers in third person is also, even though it drives me crazy, when I have students say to me, what would Mrs. Smiles like? What does Mrs. Smiles think? And I feel like saying to them, well, just ask her. You know, if you just ask her, she would tell you. But on the other hand, I bite my tongue, and I think this is good chinuch, that there is a difference between me and an 18-year-old. And let us understand that clear difference. He goes on, the 16, and he explains that this is the idea the Gra speaks about, that when Klai Yisrael were born, the imagery is like an ubar v'mei imo, like an infant taken from its mother. And the Gra 16 continues with that imagery, and he says that the entire time the Jews are in the desert, they are like an infant who is being fed and nourished by a parent, kivyochel by Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's the image we find in our parsha. Hanochi ariti et ha'am hazeh, right? As you say, sayehu b'cheki, like I have to carry them in my, you know, within me. Like this is the imagery. Am I a mother, a nursemaid for these? And the answer is yes. They're infants, and that's why they're taken care of by the man. They're taken care of by the be'er, the amnei kavod, because they're just starting out. They can't even take care of themselves. But you know what the problem with this is, my friends? As beautiful as this is, as wonderful as this is, we need to understand. Omnam kol sipuk sorcheim hagashmi varuchani hayam Hashem yitbarah shekivyachol Hashem yitbarah keseder hikbiyotam elav lanikotam ach mikol makom haya kasher lehem hamatzav hazeh liyot smuchim al shulchan acherim. It was very hard for them to be dependent on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's as if I date her gishu, she do a kol tzmuchalahem. As beautiful as this nourishment is, and for a baby who they realize can't do otherwise, this is essential. But the people in their mind felt we could do otherwise. And for them to be nourished by Hashem at all times, it was difficult for them to have that hitbatlut. It was difficult for them to have that sense of self-nullification. It's like an ani, a poor person whose all their needs are taken care of from Hashem. And that is why we understand so beautifully, it fits in so nicely, that what does Hashem give them? Hashem gives them the slav. And what did they do? They, you know, the least among them had a pile this high of slav. The man, if they took more, they came out with exactly the amount that they were supposed to have. That frustrated them. It means that I have no sense of initiative. There's no sense of self. It's all about what God wants. That was the core of their complaints. They didn't feel that they had some self-control. They didn't feel that they were in charge. And that's what the slav gave them. It gave them that sense of being in control and in charge. Rabosai, the Siftei Chaim goes on and explains, with this we can appreciate why those Zakenim who didn't have the proper Yiras HaKavod, the proper awe at the receiving of the Torah, died right here. And he notes, based again on the Gron 18, we say in the Haggadah, never too early to start Pesach again. Don't get nervous. Baruch Hamakom, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenatan, Torah, Lama Yisrael, Baruch Hu. What is Hamakom? Makom is the way Hashem reveals himself in this world. But he's Baruch Hu. He's beyond us. He's completely separate from us. Baruch Shenatan, Torah, Lama Yisrael, Hashem gives Torah to each and every person where they are at, but nevertheless, he's Baruch Hu. Our understanding of the Torah doesn't even get to an iota of the depth of what Torah is about. To really understand Torah is to walk in with an understanding of Yibadla. Torah is so deep. Torah is so great. Who am I to appreciate Torah? Who am I to be able to even understand Torah? When you're able to walk in with that mindset, then you're able to appreciate Torah. The chet of the mitonanim, the chet of these complainers, the sin of these complainers and the sin of the zakenim are one and the same sin. They saw Hashem, whatever that may mean, and they were ghastly bummed. They felt like, you know, again, that entitlement. We can eat, we can drink, we can experience this. They didn't have the correct approach of Vayister Paneim to hide their face, to feel that sense of Baruch Hu, of how great Hashem is and how small we are. Because they suffered from the same experience as these people, their lack of Ibadlut, the lack of self-nullification, this is the appropriate place to have them punished. My friends, that's one idea of why they're complainers. What's the source of complaints? The idea of entitlement, the idea of magili, the idea of hitbatlut, the idea of the inability to know our place. And because we don't know our place, we feel everything we're deserving, and therefore we can complain. The other aspect that perhaps is also found as also a thread, there are many, is what Rav Dov Yafet speaks about in Lav Decha Be'emes in 22 and 23, is the idea of Haprisha Machre Makom Masheret LaAdam Laso Kichol HaOla Ruchol V'Lecha Achre Yitzro V'Tavotav Kishu Meshuchram Machbalot Shatara Metilala. Why do I complain? Because I don't like to be put into a box of what I have to do and what I don't have to do. I like to do whatever I feel like. And people have this problem with accepting the old, the yoke of Torah, because they don't like to be told what to do. And it's very similar to what we just spoke about. And he notes here an idea, which is a very powerful idea. And that is, in 23, there is the prikas ol, but ofen chalki, there's a partial prikas ol, which is, you know what, of course I accept Hashem and I accept the Torah, of course. You know what, but if I don't know about certain things, then I won't fall into doing them or not doing them. So let me just not know about it. And if I can just ignore it, then it's as if it's not there. So for example, why bother learning all the halachas of Lashon Hara? Which will then mean that I might have to start curtailing what I'm going to say. So you know what? If I don't learn, I don't know. If I don't know, then I can say really whatever I want. And the Rav Dessler says, even such a havamina, even such a thought, that, you know what, I can have a lackadaisical attitude about Torah and mitzvah, so what I don't know won't hurt me. It's a pigam, it's a pogeya b'chvodov shamako. Like, who can even think such a thing? Do you recognize the greatness of Hashem, that this is what your attitude is? So this was a problem. The problem was that complaining for the sake of complaining. However, my friends, there's a flip side. And this is what we need to work on. And continuing back in the Pirkos Mordechai Rav Yitzrachi in 24, Yesh Ladat Ki Kishem Shani Grenut Midahi Latzma, just like complaining is a midah, it's all right. Right, these people are known as kvetches. Likewise, Am Shetoldot Beushimla, Kach Svius Rashton Afhi Midahi Latzma, Am Shetoldot Bruchola. There's also the idea of people who have Svius Ratzon. Sias Ratzon means that people are satisfied with what they have. And every person has the ability to put this into their consciousness, to be able to be Savea Ratzon, to be able to be satisfied with what they have. And there's a tremendous achrayus, notes the Birkas Mordechai in 25. We create a certain standard. As mothers in our homes, as friends among friends, in our community, if we're around people and we're always nitpicking and finding complaints, oh my gosh, I can't believe this wasn't done right. Oh my gosh, and do you see how they set up the table like this and they did it like that? So everyone around us starts noticing all the different challenges and all the different things that went wrong. If a person walks around with an ayin tova, a good eye, wow, do you see how it was set up? The colors are so beautiful and the way the plates match, and wow, amazing job! And you focus on the ayin tova, on the good eye, then people around you also will be catchy. Yeah, they did a great job! And look at this and look at that! This is our challenge. Do you want to be a person who's going to complain? Or do you want to be a person who's going to explain? And this is the beautiful idea that Rav Huttner Zatzal brings, Rabbi Foyer brings in Tilum Treasury on the Pasuk of Ors, Arula Tzadik Uli Yishrei Leiv Simcha. There's a light zone for the Tzadik, Uli Yishrei Leiv, and the upright of the heart, there's Simcha, there's gladness. Rav Yitzchak Huttner observed that the Targum translates Yishrei Leiv as Teritza Liba, which literally mean those who are hearts are full of teruzin, explanation. The heart of an unhappy person is filled with strong questions on everyone and everything. Such a person is critical and nitpicking about everything. Why do you say that to me? How could she do such a thing? Where was Hashem when I needed him? Naturally, this negative attitude fills him with discontent. Joy and gladness are banished from his heart. The secret of perpetual gladness, says Rav Huttner, is to develop a positive attitude whereby you find teruzin, explanations, which justify the actions of the people you encounter. In other words, it's better to explain than to complain. This message is implied in the first half of verse as well. Light is sown for the righteous. The righteous know that the justification for an action or event is often not readily apparent. One must dig beneath the surface to discover the light which is sown and concealed within. The righteous ones are those contented and happy people who have learned the art of unearthing, quote-unquote, the light and everything. And that's our challenge. In this sefer, again, Chovat Hadam Ba'olamo, and again, this is the volume on kinah, jealousy, and acquiring Midas Ayin Tova. He says, one of the ways to work on having a good eye is through the medium of brachos. And he notes here, Bem Sa'ud in 27 in the Hebrew, Bem Sa'ud HaDibur, Efshar Lo Rak L'Shabeach Et HaZulat, Ela Gam L'Varechoto. Through your speech, you don't only have the ability to praise somebody, you also have the ability to bless somebody. And that's just going to strengthen this good eye. And he tells a story of the Sabo Slobodka. When he would pass the houses of Rashi Yeshiva, even if no one was in the house, he would turn to the house and say, good morning. So when people ask him about this strange, thing, like most people don't talk to houses, he would answer, what's the difference? When I meet somebody, I wish them a good morning, because when I meet somebody, I think about them and I want to, give them well. So he says, likewise, when I pass by a person's house, Rosh Hashiva's house, I also think about them and I also want to wish them well. So I bless them. Right? Even though they may not be in the house, I bless them and what they own, that they should have a good morning, they should have a lot of bracha. So as strange as it sounds, this is the Sabo Slobodka is teaching us what it means to stretch those muscles of blessing others with an ayin tova, with a good eye. As he notes in 28 in the 1, Hadrachot Masiyot, Chapeis Bechol Yom Hizdamniyot, look for opportunities every day, L'Shabeach Et Chavercha, to praise a person with a full mouth on what they've done, whether they're in front of you or not. You are flexing the muscle of an Ayin Tova. And he focuses here on 29 and 30, and I think it's something we all need to keep in mind, the brachos of a Baal Simcha. You know, there's an idea that a person at a time of a simcha, whether it's a parent at a bris, or parents of the chasen akala, or the chasen akala themselves, have a koach habracha. So everyone blesses them. Hazal tov, and you should raise the child to, chuppah meitzim tovim, Torah chuppah meitzim tovim, etc., and have nachas from your children, blah, blah. But there's also an Indian we know that we go over to the Baalei Simcha, and we ask them for a bracha. So is there such a concept of asking the Baalei Simcha, you go to a kala, give me a bracha on the day of your wedding, you go to the mother of the kala, and the mother of the little boy who has a bris. So he says, yes, there is such a concept. And he says, We call them a Baal Simcha. The Baal Simcha means literally the owner of the Simcha, the master of the Simcha, of the joyous occasion. This is somebody who is the owner of this joy because they feel a tremendous amount of joy at this moment, right? It's unsurpassed joy. And he notes, just like we know the Inyan of Birkos Kohanim, the blessing of the priest, is said every day in Eretz Yisrael, but only said on Chagim in Chutz Laretz, right? We all know Shavuos just came. Everyone tries to make sure to get Birkos Kohanim in Chutz Laretz. It's a big deal. Why don't we say it every day? Like for us, every, you know, I don't put a shul every day, but every Shabbos you get Birkos Kohanim. And the answer they say is because in Eretz Yisrael you're always in a state of Simcha. And giving a Birkos Kohanim, the bracha of the Kohanim, can only be in a state of joy. Which says a lot about Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz, but that's not our discussion for today. So you see here, he says, that when a person's in a state of Simcha, in a state of joy, he has a power, levarech, a power of blessing. And that's why Baalei Simcha, those who have this Simcha, have this ability to give over their Simcha to others. And he says, Achen kena davar, 30, ki asameach yoter, one who is overflowing in joy, yesho koach gadol yoter, has a greater power, lavir tasimcha hala, to then take that overflowing amount of joy and give it to others. And that's what we have to do. That's what brings us an Ayin Tova. When you start blessing everybody, when you start wishing everybody well, it affects you and it affects those around you. Our job is to look for opportunities of Ayin Tova. So if you find it strange when you drive by somebody's house to wish them good morning, I can understand that, but at least think about it. At least think about the mindset of wishing others well, even if they're not in front of you. It's about training our mind. Sarah Yosef, who is Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal's daughter-in-law, in that beautiful Sefer, which is translated in English, It's All in Your Mind, about positive thinking, originally found in the Hebrew, she says, it is extremely difficult for a person to change his way of thinking, especially after many years. This is 27 in the English. However, when a harmful thought appears in our mind, it is possible to exchange it for a different thought. We're capable of pushing aside the negative thought and thinking about something beneficial instead. Whenever a negative thought arises in our mind, we must strive to erase it by telling ourselves repeatedly, either verbally or mentally, this thought is batel umavuta, null and void. In this way, our brain will not accept the negative thoughts. It's important to remember, though, that this is not enough, because we cannot leave our brains devoid of thought. If we try to simply erase a destructive thought, it will eventually return. Therefore, immediately after we have nullified the negative thought, it's essential that we replace it with a positive one, a positive affirmation, I'm succeeding, or I can't do it, and don't think about things in the future because it's not concrete enough for the brain right now. Our job is to be able to see, to feel, to focus it on, to think of the positive and not focus it on the negative. And a perfect example of this, again, Rav Dov Yafeh in La'avdam Chaba MS brings, is from Yaakov Avinu. When Paro sees Yaakov Avinu, he says to him, like he had never seen somebody who looked so old in his life. He said, how old are you? And he tells him how old he is, and he says, Ma'ad v'ra'im hayu yamei shnei chayai. My days have been little and bitter. And because of this, for every word he said of complaint, he was taken away from the 180 years he was supposed to live, and he only lived 147 years. So, there's a lot of Torah on this, but the idea of the Chaba Emes says is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivyachol is saying to Yaakov Avinu, I understand why you have a right to complain. You know, Lavan was difficult, and Esav was difficult, and Dina was difficult, and Yosef was difficult. But why are you just focusing on the difficulties? Why aren't you focusing, again, on the level of Yaakov Avinu, what we began with, on how I save you from Lavan, how I save you from Esav, how Dina was returned, how Yosef ultimately was, you know, there was a reconciliation. Why aren't you focusing on the positive? 34 in the asterisk, Lech Echadol Yishlanu Mamod Vadvarim. We have a lot to learn from this. Baruch Hashem Yishlanu Avsharu L'Shev L'Avon B'Shavah. We have so much good in our lives. How can we leave that lame? How can we ignore the Chesed Hashem and just complain about things that aren't our way? Im Adam Yaseh Cheshbon in the Aaron 34, Ma Chaser Lo. If you would do a Cheshbon of what you're missing, Lu'umat, in comparison to Ma Sheyesh Lo, Ma Shechaser Yit Batel B'Shishim Kaful Shishim Lumat Ayesh. It is so much more that we have than what we don't have. And that is our job. Our job is to live in a world to appreciate all that Hashem does and to be able to focus in on the kindnesses and try to be able to interpret things, as we spoke about, Tehut Saliba, Yishrei Lev, to try, as Rav Lutner Zatzal said, focus in on the positives and not in on the negatives. A perfect example, going back to our parsha, is what Mipi Svarim, the suffering brings based on Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and the Shem Shmuel. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh gives us a mashal, a very famous mashal, is that when a parent wants to teach a child how to walk, so the, the parent will stand really close to the child, and the child will come close to the parent, yay, right? And then the parent moves further back, and then a little bit further back, and the child gets very frustrated. But it's the only way the child's going to learn how to walk, is they're going to fall, and they're going to push themselves and get up, and in the child's mind, they're like, hey, that's not fair, you're moving further back, this is harder, this isn't what I, signed up for when I came down to earth. And the parent's saying, I know, but you can't crawl your whole life, you need to walk, right? You have to walk down to your chuppah, not crawl down to your chuppah, this is what you need to do. V'nei v'nei sevo midbar 35, ha'yu b'madrega gedolo shaitala ha'mitgalot eloki b'chol davar. Kla Yisrael was on a level of revelation of God in every matter. V'lo asku b'shum ma'isa gashmi, and they weren't involved in anything physical. But that's not the goal of Hashem. The goal of Hashem is to give us things in this world for us to struggle in order to get reward. Right? We don't want the bread of shame. So Hashem makes challenges in this world, makes nisyonos for us so that when we overcome them and we fall and we get up and we persevere and we move forward, we're learning how to walk. We're learning how to, we'll therefore be worthy of reward in the next world. That's why now when they're coming close to Eretz Yisrael, Hashem is beginning to wean them away from being totally dependent on Him, that they're going to have to be able to work on their own. And that's Pshat in the Pasuk. V'aron brit Hashem nosea lifneihem. The Aron went in front of them, no longer bitocham. When they felt that Hashem had moved away from them, kivyachol, they fell apart. Oh my gosh, Hashem, you've left us, you moved in front of us, we can't handle this. Had they only saw that Hashem did this in order for them to strengthen themselves, if they only understood, as the Shem Shmuel notes, that this is the way Hashem has built it into all of our learning, that at first we're inspired, we feel Hashem so close, and then He moves further and further in order for us to be able to make it our own, to be able to work hard. Right, like Pesach, Hashem revealed Himself L'El Seder. Then we went down to Sfiras Omer for Hashem to reveal Himself at the end on Shavuos. This is what life is all about. Had they been able to see that this is part of their growth, had they been able to see that this was for their good, that Hashem moved away, then instead of complaining, instead of looking for the negative, they would have seen the positive. And Rabbi Tatzin, Living Inspired, in one of his first chapters in this book, really brings this down as a yesod in life, that we have to understand there are three phases: inspiration, hard work, and then once again inspiration, and it goes in a spiral. And he says in 37, one application, this is found in Baalei Tshuva. Baal Tshuva described that the person discovered a Torah-oriented way of life after living a more secular lifestyle. Many Baal Tshuva experience an unexpected and disturbing letdown. Often, the pathway is as follows. A young person discovers Torah, becomes inspired by a Torah teacher, and begins to study. Every Torah experience, whether in learning or in contact with the Orthodox world, is spectacular. Every text study is alive with significance. Every Shabbos experience is high. There's a phase of euphoria. Somehow, though, subtly, this changes, and growth has to be sought. Learning may be very difficult. Often, difficulties seem to far away the breakthroughs. Many are tempted not to persevere in learning. Of course, this is exactly the way it must be. Real growth and learning comes when real effort is generated. Just as physical muscle is built only against strenuous resistance, so too spiritual and personality growth is built only against equivalent resistance. A person understands the secret and can begin to enjoy the phase of work. A maturity of understanding makes clear that the first phase is artificial. It's the second phase which yields real development. And I've seen this over and over again, working with seminary girls who will say to me, my davening used to be so close to Hashem. I just felt it. And now I open a sitter and I don't feel anything. Like, why is God punishing me? And I'm like, He's not punishing you, right? He's giving you a gift. It's called being able to get back to the level that he gave you as a gift. But now you've earned it. Now you've owned it. Now you've worked hard for it. And again, in our day and age, when it's like an anathema what it means to work, and you want everything as a gift, it's challenging. They look at you like, work? I mean, I have to work? I mean, everything isn't on a silver platter? And it's a challenge. It's a struggle. And this is the challenge and struggle that Klal Yisrael had. And my friends, this is the challenge and struggle that we need to have in our own Avodas Hashem. And again, I don't really want to focus on them as much as us. That we have to realize, and this is what the Dach Raga writes in the asterisk, Ki Torah Dereshe Me'adam Lasein Ol Umasav Lavodet HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol HaMatzavim. All that we experience in life is for our good. We know, that just like Rabbi Frank Waxman uses this as an example, he said, just like a parent will not take a month-old child and stand them up, I don't know how they would stand them up, and say, okay, walk, knowing that a month-old child doesn't have the capability and the strength of muscle to walk, they'll wait till the child shows signs of what? Of cruising, of holding on, and then they'll begin on the process of teaching them to walk. Hashem doesn't hold us up into nisyonos, to challenges that are beyond us to handle. He waits till our muscles have developed in a certain area and then challenges us, and then works on us being able to become stronger in that area. And that's why our attitude has to be, instead of complaining, oh Hashem, you're making it so hard for me, and why is this so difficult, and I can't find this, and I... Look at all the brachos that we have, focus on all the goodness that we have, and realize that every struggle and every challenge that Hashem gives us is tailor-made for us and our level of capability where we are holding to be able to be the best Eved Hashem we can be and to earn the highest reward that we are capable of reaching. It all boils down to, my friends, really one nekuta, one thought. How are we able to have an ayin tova, a good eye, in all the challenges we have in life, in all the difficulties, in the illnesses, in the struggles, in the parnasa, in the shiduchim? There's so much to complain about. How do you see an ayin tova? It's the key nekuda that the Sfarim say we're missing from this generation, again, on their high, lofty level, so minute, which is what we need to inculcate within us, which is our final idea. And that is found in the Kovat Sichot of Rav Achweigel, as well as Rav Freiman at Shari Derech. Let's take a look at Rav Freiman. He says, Nitbonen ma'at kamaf, source 40, muchrachat hi avas Hashem. You know what it's all about? It's about feeling that Hashem loves us. And he says the teva of a person, the nature of a person is that person gives you a gift. So you're very grateful for the person. You feel tremendous good feeling toward them. And the bigger the gift they give you, then the more grateful you feel, the more love you feel. Now imagine the greatest gift possible, called life. Can you imagine how much we should feel love toward Hashem and how much we should realize how much Hashem loves us? And he goes on to say, and this is in 41, Harei im rak nitvonen be'ever achad kamo haregel. Just take a look at one part of the body, like the foot. How much we're dependent on it. How much we use it. How much a healthy foot can bring us so much bracha in life. And how we have to thank Hashem for all that we have. You know, I when I read this, I felt particularly drawn to this, suffering now from what seems to be an Achilles tendon and off my foot, one of my feet. And a person who is very active being suddenly so constrained. You're like, you appreciate, like, wow. And unfortunate, this is what happens when you, you know, have limited experience, you know, use, you become even more appreciative. But, like, it's amazing what it means to stand on 2 feet. And when people ask me how I am, I answer, I'm doing great because I'm exactly where Hashem wants me to be. I feel that no matter how much pain I'm in or how much I need to go through, this is tailor-made for me. This is Hashem's way of saying, I want a larger picture here of growth, whatever it may be, and this is what we need to go through. And he says this in 42, each kaseh shekulo revayiv revive itself full by Avat Hashem. When a person is filled with Avat Hashem, when Yisurin come on them, they realize that this is exactly where Hashem wants you to be. V'hu harei ha'al hev hachi gadol shirei shlo shemetiv lo veitiv lo. And obviously I'm not on that level, halavaya should be, but it's something that we need to at least in our speech and our mindset strive toward, that this is all coming from a place of love. Ezu Hashir, who is really a rich person? Zo Ha'ish Hashir Ohev Et Hashem Yitbarach Shiro'e Kol Hazman Chastei Hashem Imo. The wealthy person is the one who loves Hashem and is appreciative of all the things that Hashem gives us. And this was the challenge. Vayhia Am Kimitonanim. How could they complain against Hashem? Halo Tulotam Mida She'ein Havat Hashem Yekirbam. The fact that they're able to make complaints like this is a symptomatic of the fact they don't really feel that they love Hashem enough. Because if they would love Hashem, they would say, okay, so he wants us to go through a 3-day journey in one day. Okay, so it's not so convenient. Okay, it's not the way I would have imagined it. Okay, it's not the way I'm writing my script. But I trust Hashem. I love Hashem. And I know Hashem loves me. And because of that, I'm ready to undergo whatever it is, because I know there's a larger picture here. I know that there is the Ritzon of Hashem, the will of God. And that's why he notes in 45, when it comes to physical things in this life, I have to be Sameach Bechalki. I have to realize that whatever I have is exactly what Hashem wants. When it comes to spiritual things, obviously, I have to yearn and long for more and say, Hashem, I would like to have greater relationship. I'd like to learn more Torah. I'd like to develop more and more to be satisfied with the physical, but to be able to yearn for the spiritual. And he notes in 44, Haratzom l'tavod olam hazeh mikarohu michitzaron avat Hashem libo shel adam. When you feel that you're missing so many things in this world, to a certain degree, he says, it sounds harif, it sounds a little bit tough, there's a certain lack of avas Hashem, that Hashem isn't providing you with what you need. And the Sicha Bavat Hashem of Maizlish says this clearly in 47. Binyanav HaGashvim, in your physical possessions, ki kama sheyodei adam u'mamin basa, to the extent a person knows and believes this, asher kol ma sheyesh lo, whatever we have, bigufo, in their body, bimamono, in their money, bichvodo, in their honor, v'chol asher lo, all they have, hei mitzah mishpachto, hei mitzah chavei rav v'sivato, in their family, in their friend, v'hei mitzah tchunot nafsho, in all their wiring, all that makes them unique, v'chol sharin yanav, all that you have, Kol Elo Hizmino Shemit Baruch B'mida Meduyeket Ma'od is given to us to the finest detail. B'kamut Meduyeket Ma'od, exactly what we need. U'be'echut Meduyeket Ma'od, the amount, the how, everything is tailor-made. Ad lafli mamish, it's peladic, it's wondrous. Ba'ofen sheyeh latov lo b'zeh u'bavah l'chol chalkei nafsho v'ruchol v'nishmato b'li matzor kol shu. We have exactly what we need, because this is what we need to be the type of Eved Hashem we need to be. U'b'li yitron kol shu. Ayde says, achay hu litzvo b'chol shalom b'simcha gadol v'atzuma. When you really believe this, if Hashem wanted me to have 10 kids, then he would expect me to serve him with 10 kids. He didn't give me 10 kids. I'm not meant to serve him with 10 kids. I'm meant to serve him with what he has given me. And that's why we can't look over our shoulders and say, well, if I only had, or look at where they're at, because they have what they're at. And I don't have where I'm at, because I'm not supposed to be where they're at. I'm supposed to be where I'm at. I'm supposed to appreciate what I have. And that should fill me with a great simcha, with a great joy. If I was supposed to have this, then this would be part of my serving of Hashem, be part of my chelik of my neshama. So for example, if I say I'm tone deaf, which I am, and I am artistically challenged, which I am, I could be sitting all day, this is an example, complaining, Hashem, you know, you made all my good friends artistic and you made them musical, and why didn't you make me this way? And that's just a waste of energy. And I in Tova is one who says, Hashem, I am so thankful for the gifts that you did give me. And I focus in on those gifts. Hashem, you gave me A, B, and C. And I'm able to utilize them to my fullest because this is what makes me me. And that's the message that we constantly have to emphasize and go over and over in our heads to be the real Eved Avdei Hashem that he wants from us. So in conclusion, my friends, what we try to see is, again, we can't even touch these people. What was their complaints? I don't know what their complaints was, because they're on a level so beyond me. What I can learn for my life is, sometimes people complain just because they want to complain. And they could be the highest of the people or the lowest of the people, and they'll just bring people on their bandwagon just to complain. And we know that complaining is really coming from a feeling of magili. If I get everything I want, if I don't have something, I complain. And it's a lack of ibadlut, it's a lack of humility, a lack of knowing our place, a lack of being able to put ourselves in the correct perspective, which is so important, to stand up for people whom we respect, and not to ignore them, to be able to know where my place is vis-a-vis these other people. And when we stand up, we're sending a message to our children as well. B, we have to realize that sometimes this comes from we don't want to be told what to do. We like to complain because we don't want to have any responsibility. When I don't want to have responsibility, I just complain about everything. The counter that we have to bring into our lives is an Ayin Tova, is a good eye. It's to be able to bless people. It's to really bless them from the deepest part of ourselves, to be able to speak positively about people. That when we're Baal Simcha, we make sure we give blessings. Every morning to say Boker Tov, as a real blessing, a person should have a good day. Be blessed, right? They should be blessed with wonderful things. And to recognize that this idea of an Ayin Tov, perhaps on their level, was missing when Hashem moved in front of them. And they said, oh my gosh, Hashem's left us. Whoa! See the goodness in this picture. Hashem left you in order to have you grow and struggle in order to reach Eretz Yisrael on that much of a higher level. And that is our challenge, to be able to see that everything Hashem does is tailor-made for our good. And when we appreciate this, and when I recognize this, and when I understand that Hashem loves me with the deepest love, and I love Hashem with the deepest love, then the challenges and the difficulties that we have are put into context, and they're not just random. And then I'm able to understand that if this is the challenges and situations that we're going through, there is a part of a larger picture. There is a purpose. There is a focus. And it's within this focus and this approach that we have to learn how to grow, we have to learn how to take the messages, and we have to be able to say, Hashem, I appreciate all that you have given me. I'm filled with so much gratitude. And the more we expound on the positive and the gratitude and all the gifts that we have, that develops and furthers and deepens this love to Hashem. And in that way, we feel that all that we have is a blessing from Hashem. And instead of focusing and complaining on the negative, oh, I'm missing this and I'm missing that, I say, thank you, Hashem, for what I do have. Let me utilize and help me utilize what I do have to be able to serve you for the best. Because if I'm missing it, it's obviously because I don't need this right now. We should all be zocha to live a life of an ayin tova, of a good eye, to be able to rid that part of us that's critical, that part of us that complains, and to be able to thus be filled with our love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and be able to feel in a reciprocal way Hashem's great love for us.